A short reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15, beginning with the 7th verse. If there is a poor man among your brothers in any town of the land, and the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your poor brother. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs. And from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Word of God, word of life, thanks be to God. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I know when you hear this word almsgiving, there's one particular word that may stand out from that, and that would be giving. Well, I am no expert when it comes to stewardship sermons, so don't worry, I'm not going to give one of those. Don't worry. We're not going to be talking about that. But you might be worried, well, if he's not going to talk about that, what else is he going to talk about then? If it's about almsgiving and opening my hands. He's going to ask us to do something, isn't he? I just know he's going to talk about we have to do something. But Pastor Zach, that's not what we need for our salvation. We need Jesus. Okay, we're not going to get into that debate. But you're not going to be totally off the hook either, okay? So I thought there's a better way to go at this because I'm not the biggest expert. I'm not the one that knows exactly how to talk about these things sometimes. So I thought there's got to be something that I can relate to, maybe you can relate to, that kind of explain this idea of almsgiving and open hands. And being that it's March and April's only not too long from now, I figured what better way than to take us out to the old ball game, right? Right? Baseball. You guys know baseball, right? I hope. Softball, something, kickball. I don't know. There's some sort of sport like that. But baseball, many of you know this, some of you don't. But I played baseball in high school. I was a horrendous batter. We're not going to talk about batting, but we are going to talk about fielding. That I was okay at. I could field the ball. I was DH'd for every single game, so I know I couldn't hit the ball at all. But I could field that ball. But what do you need? What do you need to do to field that ball? Well, there's a couple ways you can field it. The first way you can field a baseball is you could stand up here with your hands in your pockets, the glove like this, and you could be ready. Now, it's good to know that I was a second baseman. So, for reference, we're going to be talking about the second baseman, the shortstop, and the first baseman. But if you're standing there as a second baseman and you're ready for that ball to come, when it does, if you're standing here like this, there's about two outcomes that are going to happen. You're either going to get hit right in the nose because you're not ready for that ball. You're going to get hit in the knee. You're going to get hit somewhere else. You're going to get hit in the arm. You're going to get hit on the glove. But that ball's not exactly going to do any good except to hit you. And that person's going to get on base. Okay, that makes sense. But what if you get into the fielding position and you're ready to go? Or I'm ready to go. And your fists are tight and the gloves all tight and you're ready to go. What's going to happen? Well, that ball's going to come down and it's going to hit. And if you're lucky, it's going to bounce off your glove and that's going to do it. But if your hands in a fist, it's pretty hard to throw a baseball to the person you need to throw it to. It's not going to do much good. So what do they teach you in baseball? Well, there's a good way to do that. First of all, make sure you're in that position. You're ready to receive that ball. But not only that, you need to have that glove ready to go. The glove's open, your hand's open, and you're ready to play some ball. Because when that ball does come, when those hands are open, when it comes, not only does it go into the glove, and that glove gets pretty dirty, let me tell you, but it also gets into your hand. You're ready to throw it and share it to the next person for the most beautiful play a second baseman can ever see, the 4-6-3 double play. Woo! There we go. Can't tell baseball's on the mind. And that sounds great, doesn't it? It sounds clean. It sounds like perfect. And it can be if it's done right. But let me tell you, it can be a very dirty job. It can be dirty. This glove has been filthy more times than I can count. I would come home with the pants dirty, the shirt dirty, the knees bloody, the hands dirty. There was all sorts of diving. Like I said, I couldn't hit the ball, but I could stop the ball. That's about all I could do. That's what I was good at. But the key is, you had to be ready to receive it and to share it. And then they would share it over to the first baseman. Whew, baseball lesson for tonight. There we go. But what else? What does that have to do with anything when you think about it? Well, when you think about our lives, if we stand up here with our hands in our pockets, maybe get called pockets because that's all we do, what kind of relationships are we building with one another there? It's a good question. Not much happens. We're not ready to receive. We're not ready to share. Not only that, what's the difference when you're ready and your arms are open, ready to receive, ready to give? What exactly are open hands? What does that look like in our lives? You could probably think of many different examples, but there's something that always comes to my mind is when something happens to a farmer, maybe they're sick or they die and it's harvest season and that field is just sitting there. Maybe you've heard the stories of some farmers, neighboring farmers coming and taking care of the field, or coming from not only nearby but far away, coming and helping them succeed, maybe adding more work to their load, but using their hands not only for what they need, but for what you need too. Or it could be something really simple about how do you get your hands dirty and give back in different ways. Just yesterday, my daughter, myself, and my neighbor's daughter, we did, of course, what anybody that loves winter does. We tried to give at least a few people some smiles. What does that look like? Well, we didn't build a snowman in our yard. We even didn't build a snowman in their yard. We went to three other people's yards on the street, and we built three different snowmen, all of them facing the house with a smile. So don't worry, but there's something there. That was one way to give back, to give maybe a little bit of joy into somebody's life. Or to say, thank you for letting us use your hill, maybe. But not only that, besides that, you can probably think of many stories in your life. But what about in the scriptures? The feeding of the 5,000. That right there, there's a couple things going on with open hands, ready to receive and ready to give. Not much food there. Not much food, not much fish, not much bread. And yet all of a sudden, maybe not necessarily like magic, but there was food for everyone. And if it's like what some people have considered is once one person started giving, their hands opened up and shared what they had, and there was enough for everyone. The hands were open instead of tightly closed together, keeping it to ourselves. Hands wide open. Hold me fast, Lord. Hold me fast, as Psalm 139 says. But hands open is what we ask God for. Open not only to you, God, but to others. And that's a hard thing to do, because this idea of opening hands isn't necessarily giving to somebody, but it's also receiving. Receiving the gifts that Jesus has given each and every one of us. And that is a gift that just isn't something you want to hold on to tight. You want to share it. You want to receive it in and give it to the next person. And maybe they'll be able to share it with the next person and get their hands dirty in one way or another. But it is hard, because we don't necessarily want to do something nice for our neighbor because we don't necessarily agree with them all the time. But sometimes it's that idea of an open hand that breaks through some of those barriers. And in really hard times, even those barriers can break down. And you even help somebody that you might not agree with. And who knows, maybe together you learn something. And God's hands in this whole time are sitting there wide open, ready to invite you in, ready to give to you and to you to share with one another. God to self, to others. A beautiful 4-6-3. It's a beautiful thing. So maybe that's the challenge for this week. Maybe the challenge is to reach out to God and with those open hands and say, you know what? They're a little clean right now. I'm ready. I'm ready to do something for my neighbor. I'm ready to hear your words. I'm ready to be filled with your love. I'm ready to receive your gifts. I'm ready to share those gifts with others. Whatever that looks like for you, maybe the first thing to do is to go to God with the open hands and say, I'm here. Use me. I've got the ears. I've got the eyes. I've got the heart. Here are the hands. Now open the life. That's what's coming next. Open us up, ready to receive and to give. Whatever that looks like for you, I pray you consider that today. And be ready. Be ready to get those hands dirty, but dirty in love. That's a beautiful thing. And it's something we're called to do, even when it's really, really hard. So go play ball with Jesus and your neighbor. It's going to be fun, even though it's going to be hard. I shouldn't have said fun. It's going to be hard. But thanks be to God for that. Thanks be to God to help us receive and to give each and every day. Amen.